two. And what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the King's Court Podcast, presented to you by RateCrushers.com. I'm your host, Vince Miracle. You guys can follow me on all social media platforms of @VMCenter. As you guys can see, I am not alone today. Returning to the King's Court for, I believe now, this is 9 straight years. Going right after the season, heading into the draft, as well as after the show post. We've been doing a lot of this, James. James Hamm of the Kings Beat, ESPN 1320, Kings Insider. James Hamm. James, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Vince? How have you been?
You know, same old thing, man. It's been a chaotic last couple of days. I've been doing a huge deep dive into the NBA draft, like many of us have here in the podcasting world, covering the Sacramento Kings, especially since the Kings continue to be the talk of the town heading into Thursday's draft. How about you? How has this week treated you? How has the NBA draft season treated you so far?
It's been different, you know. I'm so used to being there all the time, and not being there is different. I guess, you know, I can thank the Sacramento Kings for shutting down media availability, because it at least has saved me a ton of money in gas at $7 a gallon or $6.50 a gallon.
Right.
But outside of that, it's just been different. You know, it's a weird process. You know, lots of outside sources sort of helping to create the paint the picture that is the Sacramento Kings draft like season, mm-hmm. As opposed to what normally happens when we're there, like talking to people all the time and interviewing draft prospects. So yeah, it's just been, it's definitely a different vibe this year versus other seasons.
Yeah, I can. And you've touched on it quite a bit on 2 episodes ago on your podcast, The Kings Beat, which, by the way, adding in the guests of Sean and Brendan, round of applause to you, man. It's become a great show. A lot of people continue to talk about it. I think it's become the podcast of the Sacramento Kings, if I'm just being 100% honest with you. It's been pretty nice. But I think it's been very interesting that, like you said, you haven't got to hear who the Kings have been working out. And I think that is actually becoming more apparent to even teams outside, or even minds outside of the Sacramento Kings, because I've had plenty of beat writers on from OKC to Indiana, Miami, and when they're on this show, even Rafael Barlow, who covers the NBA draft, they've came on this show over the past 9-10 days, and it's been, they always tend to say the same thing. There's whispers, or every time I say the Kings may be working out this player, my Twitter blows up because no one knew they were going to be there. How unoriginal is that for the Kings to be doing something like that, to where you don't even know who's coming to town, who they're interviewing? And does that speak volume to possibly their decisions of what they're going to make on Thursday?
Man, Ed, to be honest with you, sorry, I have a little puppy that's making noise this morning. No one has come through outside of a group of second round picks and players here and there. But, you know, Jeremy Sochan came through, who's probably slated to go anywhere from like 9 to 12, 13 in the draft. But there aren't a bunch of other players that have come through Sacramento. You know, we're learning little bits here and there. Keegan Murray came and had dinner with the Kings at one point. But I've never been through a draft process like this where, you know, we're sitting here on NBA calls with all of these prospects, and none of them have come through. You know, none of them have come into Sacramento and done a workout. And it's not like they're not working out for other teams. You know, Shaedon Sharpe had a 3v3 with Portland like last week. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't done that with the Kings. AJ Griffin hasn't talked to the Kings in a while. You know, so this is just it's a different draft process. And I guess maybe this is what the new norm could be in Sacramento, where they don't bring in a bunch of prospects. They go and travel to some pro days and stuff like that. But even the pro days, you know, Jaden Ivey, I know the Kings were at Jaden Ivey's pro day, and he didn't have contact with them there. So it's not like he's having these follow-ups and these It's not like the Kings are having these follow-ups and these other, you know, ways of touching base with these guys. It's a very different vibe than it ever has been.
Speaking of Jaden Ivey, I think it would be in our best interest to go ahead and jump right into his recent comments that he made in that Zoom call, where he said if he got drafted by the Sacramento Kings, it wouldn't be, quote, the worst thing. What was your thoughts hearing that from Jaden Ivey?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's context and the way that he said it. He was like, look, if I'm drafted by the Kings, it wouldn't be the worst thing. You know, like he was fine with it. I don't think it's his preferred location. Just like I've said it, I also don't think Jaden Ivey is the Kings' preferred prospect. But that's because, you know, they didn't expect to move up to four. They have a player who's very similar in play style in De'Aaron Fox. And I think it's not just the offensive fit where you're like, okay, you know, you got two what should be ball dominant players at the next level. Fox, it is a ball dominant player, and of course Jaden Ivey should be better off as a ball dominant player. But on top of that, like their weaknesses match up almost perfectly. And so you got two guys who aren't great shooters. They can both shoot, but they're not great shooters. You got two guys who, you know, their natural attributes of speed and quickness. Ivy's a bigger leaper than Fox, but I don't think that really matters because Fox is so effective at the rim. But on, you know, on the defensive end, neither one of them are good in the pick and roll. They really do struggle in that area. They're not natural lockdown defenders. So there is some major concern about how they would pair together. And so, I think the Kings, there are a lot of players that they could look at here, but this is one that, you know, if they had a perfect world, you know, Keegan Murray would be, you know, a guy that they really like, or Chet Holmgren, or, you know, right, Jabari Smith Jr. Those guys all fit what the Kings need more than what I think Jaden Ivey does.
Yeah, and like you said, I don't think that it was a situation where, like you said, where Ivy isn't the preferred destination for Ivy isn't necessarily Sacramento, but like you said, Ivy may not be the preferred prospect for them either. He continued on to say that it was not a conscious decision not to meet with the Kings. It's not a conscious decision. I never really made the decision to not talk with Sacramento. It just kind of happened that way, and I think that just continues to speak to the question marks that are surrounding the Kings and what they're going to do here at the number four pick. You bring up Keegan Murray. I think Keegan Murray has been a name that's been attached to the Sacramento Kings as of late. I heard as of recently that they scheduled a possible dinner with Murray and the star players Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. What have you heard about that?
Yeah, I read the report. I'd been hearing for a little while that they had dinner with Keegan Murray, but no specifics. And then Keegan actually discussed it with Chris Haynes from Yahoo and said, yeah, he had dinner with the Kings with Sabonis and Fox, and or at least that's how it was reported in that. He has met with the Kings. He has stayed in touch with the Kings. He's one of a few players that have stayed in touch with the Kings. I think him and Tari Eason both have said, like, yeah, I've been in contact with the Kings. Although, again, Eason did not come to Sacramento to work out with the Kings. So, yeah, it's just it's a different way of handling all this this draft cycle than we've ever seen. And as far as Murray, like, look, I really like Murray. But if you're the Kings, there's a tremendous amount of value at being at number four in the draft. And it's because Jaden Ivey is a sought after player. People think that Jaden Ivey could, you know, play well above his draft, you know, the number four pick, and could actually turn out to be a really good player. It's one of those things where you're kind of trying to balance out, you know, what makes sense for everybody. And, you know, the Kings, they need as many assets, as many rotational players as they can get. And that means that they could really, really use, you know, a trade down. You know, if you're not going to take Ivy at number four, then you need to move to number five. You can't just, you know, waste the opportunity to select a player that could be franchise altering. And if you are going to waste that opportunity, you need to get major compensation for doing so. And so moving down one spot, moving down two spots, all of those are options. Moving way back in the draft, I think the Kings are open for a lot of things, but at the same time, they do like Keegan Murray. So, you know, you don't want to move down too far because you'll miss your opportunity on him if that's something that you really focused on.
Yeah, I like Keegan Murray. I think I've been one of the more louder voices saying that if you're deciding to stay with that number four pick, you take highest upside or quote-unquote best player available, which to me has continued to be Jaden Ivey just because of that explosiveness and everything like that. But, yeah, Keegan to me definitely fits. It's just I don't know if he's someone that you want to take at number four. Maybe, like you said, move down with the Pistons to get there at five. Indiana has continued to be an option there as we continue to start getting people to start joining this live show. So if you guys didn't notice, we did start a little bit early. James Hamm of the Kings Beat and ESPN 1320 here on the Kings Court Podcast presented to you by RateCrushers.com. We're talking about all the options the Kings are facing heading into Thursday's NBA draft. We're now touching on Keegan Murray. Look, James, there's been a ton of rumors of the Pistons, Pacers. Even Woj came out during the NBA Finals and did a full-on sell. We're selling this here. Read all about it. Kings are trying to trade the number four pick. Are you in the belief, because I am, I think the idea for me is the Kings are going to be trading this pick come draft night on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, if I were a betting man, I would say yes. I've thought that for a long time, but I also thought that last year. And then last year they didn't trade him. They didn't trade the pick. They drafted Davion Mitchell. And so I really do think that it's one of those things where the right deal has to come along. And they're going to try to leverage this thing. They're going to, like what you talked about with Woj, you know, they're pitting four or five or six teams against each other, trying to get as much as they can for this pick. But I still think that, you know, there's a good chance that they stick around that area in the draft. You know, for me, like, look, I know the directive here is to get good fast. And so that means I would trade down once and get an asset, and then I would trade down again and maybe get another asset or two. You know, this team is not one piece away. One draft pick cannot make them a playoff contender at all. It doesn't matter who that draft pick is. Jabari, Chet, none of those guys can make this team a playoff contender by themselves with Sabonis and Fox and Barnes and DiVincenzo and Mitchell, whoever else you want to put on this squad. They need more. They need, you know, two, three of their top eight rotational players, maybe even more than that, swapped out. And so I think it's going to be like a really wild week of change. And, you know, if they are going to reshape this thing with the idea that they're going to try to push for a playoff spot, then, you know, they're going to have to be active and they're going to have to take risks, and not everyone's going to like what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, you know, wins matter, and so hopefully they can get to a point where that is the objective, is to win.
Yeah, I think trickle down trading would be the new mantra for the Kings down here. I think moving down one spot to five to get Keegan Murray, great idea. But what if you can trade five and still move down to 10 and get Kuzma? I mean, there's multiple options there where you can pick up the necessary needs. I think you've touched on it quite a bit leading into this draft coming on to Thursday, that there are going to be options for the Kings if they want to continue to move down and to continue to try to acquire players that, like you said, are in a win now mode. Has there been any, I guess, rumblings, chatter of the Kings possibly already in talks? Because before there was a report, and I think you came out and said it, that there was talking with OKC to move up. But have you been hearing any rumblings of them possibly still wanting to move down?
Well, I haven't heard them moving up for a while. I mean, that was a rumor coming out of the combine. As far as moving down, like, look, yeah, there are plenty of rumblings that the Kings are active and that the number four pick is pretty much the first pick in the draft that's obtainable. And it just fits into the top four of the draft being, you know, sort of a really good group of players and a huge drop off after that. So yeah, there's plenty of rumblings. I mean, you bring up Kyle Kuzma, but like, I think what the Kings are trying to do is there's some sort of confusion here that they're not trying for short-term success. they're just trying to accelerate winning. That's mm-hmm. all, you know? So I think there's a big difference between like mortgaging the future and just moving up one spot and moving back one spot, or even trading this pick for multiple things. Everyone's, oh, you're going to pass on Ivy. He could be a superstar. It's like, no one has, I mean, realistically, no one has thought that Ivy would be a superstar up until like the last 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden everyone's cranked up and thinking that, you know, this is going to be the next superstar.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, to me, it's kind of funny. Like, there's potential for him to be really good, but potential is a four-letter word in the NBA. You know, unless you can turn it into productivity, unless you can hold your own on both ends of the floor, then it's a little scary. You know, the Kings have dealt with potential for a long time that never pans out. And so is there a possibility they move down? Yes. But again, a guy like Kuzma is under contract for this next season and then has a player option of $13 million for the next. He's not playing for $13 million next year, the year after this. And that means that there's a good chance that he won't be, he's going to go shop himself. So you're not looking for that. Like, if you're going to trade for Jeremy Grant in Detroit, it's a extended trade. It's not just a trade. Whoever the Kings are going to get here, it's with the idea that they're part of something that's going to be building for the next 3 to 5 years, where they think that they're going to open up a window for success here.
Yeah, sorry for me being totally distracted. My son has decided that he wanted to try and come by and go play outside with the dog. So there he's walking all around and trying to find his shoes. 5 years old, trying to see also what we're doing over here. And he just ran outside with the dogs to play in the backyard. So sorry about that. But yeah, like you said, I fully understand what you're saying. Like, what they're trying to do is not mortgage the future, but like you said, accelerate the process to try and get them to win now. The only thing is, and the problem that I have with that mindset is to acquire the pieces to accelerate the win now movement. It seems you're going to have to be giving up quite a bit. You have to take a huge gamble. Are you going to go after a guy like Jeremy Grant with 1 year left on his deal? And from all previous reporting on Jeremy Grant, it was he wants to have a bigger role in the offense. Okay, so then you don't want Jeremy Grant. You go ahead and go after a John Collins. And I'm a fan of John Collins. I think John Collins is really good. I think Harrison Barnes would fit really well over there in Atlanta as well. It's just with John Collins, does he make you substantially better to where you want to go after him? Because what does he have? He has 4 years left on his contract, correct, James?
Yeah, 4 years, $100 million.
Yeah. Let me ask you this first before I give you my opinion. What are your thoughts on John Collins?
I think he's 24 years old and averaged 20 and 10 2 years ago. And the only reason he's not averaging 20 and 10 now is because Trae Young hasn't given up any of his shots and all of these other players have developed or they've brought in. So he was really good before they brought in Bogdanovich and Gallinari, before Hunter became something, before Herter became something. And then his shots started losing his shots. And that's an uncomfortable spot to be in if you're a player. But I think he's an excellent player who fits the system perfectly. He loves to run. He's great in the pick and roll. He's great off the ball. He can shoot the corner three. He can rebound. He can block shots. Like, if I'm the Kings, like, it's not just one move though. You know, like, John Collins, I think can be a really good player. And let's be honest, if they got John Collins is probably the second best player outside of Sabonis that De'Aaron Fox has ever played for. So yes. I think we can try to diminish John Collins a little bit because he averaged 16 and 9 or something last year, but he also did that with like a really badly injured finger and he had another injury, like a foot or ankle injury that he was dealing with. Like, look, John Collins is a really, really good player. What John Collins is he's what you hope that Marvin Bagley would be.
Yeah.
And that Marvin Bagley never became. I mean, John Collins is that guy. And, you know, to be honest, the Kings made a mistake when they didn't draft him in the 2017 draft and drafted Justin Jackson over him at number 15 when Collins went number 19. So, like, I get it. Like, John Collins might not be a game changer for some people, but he's much better than most of the players that are available. He's young. He's under contract for a long time. Is his contract hefty? Sure it is, but salary cap goes up every year from here on out. It's going to go from 120, 122 to 128 or 129 next year. It'll be $150 million in like 4 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, this is who you, that's
Something that you're not going for. You're going for age, and you're going yeah. for youth, and as well as the fact that you know that his contract should level out as the cap keeps continuing to grow. My thing with John Collins, and the reason why I have a little bit of a resistance to the idea of him in Sacramento, is he hasn't played more than 63 games in his entire career. And in his entire career, he's never played more than 63 games. So that injury concern is there, plus you're playing him over $100 million over the next 4 years. I think the number one thing that does fit the bill for him, A, he's athletic. He can rebound the ball. B, for his career, he shot 37% from three-point range. So he is the stretch four that you do want to have on this team. And again, he meshes very well with the age. I mean, 24, 25 years old, heading into this upcoming season. I mean, that fits the timeline for the Kings. The question is, for me, is if you get a John Collins, what's the next move? Because you need to have a next move. Because John Collins adding to the becoming the core three of this team still doesn't make you a playoff contender in the West, in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, I kind of, like, if you look at this team, if you were to add Collins to Fox and Sabonis, that reminds me a lot of the Isaiah Thomas, Rudy Gay, and DeMarcus Cousins era. You need to be better, for sure. You need a fourth, or even a guy who's as good, equal to, or better than John Collins. I totally agree. But at the same time, like, you got to start somewhere. And I don't think John Collins' salary is crazy. I just think that Atlanta got themselves in a situation, and the Kings need to avoid this situation too, where they took on too many contracts, and then they've got young players that are coming up. Well, the Kings don't have a Hunter or an Okongwu or, with Johnson. They don't have those guys up and coming back behind the players that they have right now. They need a player that can fit in and play right now. And Collins is much better than anything you're going to get at number 4, 5, 6 in the draft for the next 3 seasons, in my mind, without any question. Now, down the road, you could regret it because, you know, Ivy could become a star. But, you know, I would – at some point, you do have to roll the dice on certain things. And
yeah,
and I think the Kings need to make multiple moves. You know, there's nothing that says that they can't get Jeremy Grant and John Collins. There's nothing that says it, or Sadiq Bey and John Collins. That's I don't understand why people think that that's not in the realm of possibility. They have $40 million in expiring contracts. They've got $10 million, $11 million tied up in Rashawn Holmes that can be moved. Like, there are a lot of moves that could happen here.
Yeah, you know, I've been throwing out so many trades, James. I know you love my trades.
I know you have.
I've been saving
87% of them. I just go, oh my gosh.
I know. I didn't want to bring it up at the top of the show. I wanted to let the viewers come on in. By the way, we have viewers from Spain coming in, saying hello from Spain. The chat is blowing up over this whole entire conversation about Jeremy Grant. The one person in here, and it's Bass, says the Pistons are trying to move Jeremy Grant to make room for Marvin Bagley at the power forward spot. That's the reason why they're trading Jeremy Grant. What are your thoughts on something like that?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I mean, you talked about John Collins playing 63 games. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Marvin played 13 one season.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like again, he's played, I think his maximum streak of healthy games played in a row is like 23 in his career. Consecutive games. Like, you know, that's fine. And like, I hope it works out for Marvin. But at the same time, like, they're not moving Jeremy Grant to clear space for Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
They're moving Jeremy Grant because they know that his value is at its peak and that they don't want to pay him the 100-something million that he wants going forward. Again, I wouldn't move from 4 to 5 without getting for Jeremy Grant, without getting a sign and trade, an extend and trade where I know he's going to be under contract for the next 4 years. So if I'm getting Jeremy Grant at, say, a 4-year $90 million deal, in addition to the one $21 million deal, 1 year, $21 million, that's fine, you know. But again, that doesn't preclude you from going out and getting a John Collins as well. There's all kinds of things you can do here.
I feel like a lot of people are, because again, I wanted to bring up the fact that I know how much you hate my trades on Twitter. I know that's like a thing because you've talked about it on your, the first time you ever mentioned me on the Kings beat is to tell me you're revoking my NBA trade machine card.
You need to have your trade machine at all of the trade machines, not just like the ESPN
trade machine. No, I use Fanspo.
any version of trade machine needs to be taken from your hands. Yeah.
James, look, no, it's like a library card. If there are free books in there, and I like to read. I'm just going to keep grabbing books until I get bored, all right? They're just there in front of my hands. But one trade as of lately has gotten a huge split down the middle, and I wanted to get your opinions on this.
Okay.
I said that the number four pick has become way more valuable at this point because of the idea that this has become a four-man draft. Ivy has put his name into the realm of saying that this is now a four-man draft. Heading into the draft season, it was a three-man draft. Banchero, Jabari, Chet. Ivy's now put his name in that to where Ivy is that name, right? I think if the Pistons want to move up that one spot, because of the contract that you're going to have to do the extension with Jeremy Grant, you need to add a Sadiq Bey to move up to that spot. Am I asking too much? Because with Sadiq Bey, here's my thing. I know you've been pretty high on him. I do see the potential. I think potential, like you said, it could be a word that could hire and fire a lot of people if you make the right decision with that and you hit on it. He is, in my mind, still a poor shooter. He's a volume shooter. He averaged 16 points last season on 14 shots. I believe he shot 39% from the field and below 35% from three-point range. So there's still a lot of work to be done. It's an unpolished talent. I get the upside there. But to move up that one spot to be get a top four player in this draft where after the top four there's a huge drop-off, I think Grant and getting Bay is what gets you to that next spot. But then the question is, do you need to have the number five pick if you're getting those two players? And that's where you're getting the huge riff of question marks.
Yeah, okay, so I'll just say I don't think Detroit will do your deal, the four for five with Sadiq Bey and Jeremy Grant. And I'll say this about Sadiq Bey. Like, look, when you're in the NBA, let's just take Andrew Wiggins for a sec. Okay. Andrew Wiggins has been miscast his whole career as, you know, what, Maple Leaf Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. He's been miscast. You put him in a situation where he's the third option and he's incredible, where he can focus on defense and everything else. Like, Sadiq Bey is on a horrible team. The fact that he took 14 shots, that's not on him. That's on the Detroit Pistons, who don't have enough talent around him. So if you took some of those shots away, his numbers are going to go up. If you put him in positions to succeed, those numbers, those shooting numbers are all going to go up. He's not an unpolished player. He's a player who's miscast on the Detroit Pistons. And so, like, look, if Sadiq Bey were to come to the Sacramento Kings, I would expect him to average more like 14 points a game. And that's perfectly fine because he's an excellent defender. He does all the little things. He's a rotational player in the NBA for a decade, without any question. He's probably a starter in the league for a decade. Now, is he a plus starter? No. But again, if you're going to add a guy like John Collins and you already have a De'Aaron Fox and you already have maybe a Dante DiVincenzo and a Sabonis, but also a Mitchell, like, you need players that know who they are and what their role is and play to their strengths. And I think Sadiq Bey is that guy. I just think he's miscast right now. As a second-year player in Detroit, his numbers as a rookie were much, much better than that as far as his shooting numbers. And I expect him to go back up as far as what his numbers look like. And when has he ever played with a point guard like De'Aaron Fox, that with the speed and the burst? When has he ever played with a passing big man like Domantas Sabonis? The answer is he's never done that. So, you know, I think he's a much better player than what we're seeing right now in Detroit. And I think what we've seen in Detroit is a pretty solid two-way player.
Yeah, I like I said, I like Sadiq Bey. I do see the polish there. If I was just going by the numbers outside looking in, that's what I would see there. But he is a big guy. I mean, I do like the size and the ability for him to play that 3-4 spot as he continues to grow. I think my biggest thing for me is I'm not fully sold on the idea that Jeremy Grant is the fit for Sacramento as the player that you'd want to get. I like Sadiq Bey more than I like Jeremy Grant from the Pistons in any deal. And I think if there's a way on trade night by doing, like you said, the trickle-down trading to get a Sadiq Bey and a John Collins type of deal going on, or to get that type of package on this team, makes the most sense in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, look, Sadiq Bey isn't going to change the fortunes of your franchise, but he's much better than what you've had in the past at a lot of things. At, you know, like if he's part of your rotation and you still have Harrison Barnes and you still have the fifth pick and you can go get a Keegan Murray, all of a sudden you've got a three forward rotation of Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, and Sadiq Bey. That's much better than you were last year. Yeah. It's just, it is what it is. You can't say that that's not a better group, and a group that, like, that translates to wins. So yeah. I think there's a way that the Kings do bring in three forwards, and people are like, why did you get another one? It's like, well, because we just went like five seasons without any. Like, what do you mean? Like, having Harrison Barnes is one thing, but, you know, if the next guy is Mo Harkless, who just had never hit a three ball with the Kings, you know, we're talking about guys like Trey Lyles, Chimezie Metu played major minutes last year. Like, look at the type of upgrade we're talking about at those positions, and that's tremendous. I mean, it really does help you to go out and get multiple players that can do multiple things, that can defend multiple positions. Yeah, there's a lot of multiples there, but that's where the Kings are at. They're not one player away.
Yeah, like I said, I like the idea of getting a Bay, a John Collins, but I agree with you, James. I think it's come down to the point now where we know there's going to be more than just one move. It can't just be the number four pick and that changes the franchise into becoming a playoff team. The Kings are going to be hitting home runs. From everyone that I've got to speak to about this upcoming draft on Thursday, excuse me, it sounds like there's going to be some fireworks. And I think we say that almost every time heading into the NBA draft, but with free agency being such a, I guess, there's limited talent out there in free agency this offseason. And I feel like if you're going to make your team better this year, it's going to come from the trade market. And I do believe that the Kings have the necessary assets to go acquire all the necessary talent to make them a playoff contender next year. So I do like where the Kings are sitting. I think they are sitting actually in a very strong position right now.
I would agree. I think that they're in a power position at the number four spot, but they got to play it right. And so if you can accumulate talent and improve your roster greatly, then you got to be aggressive and you got to do it. And, you know, if the goal is to make the playoffs after 16 years of not, it doesn't mean the goal is to make it one time. The goal is to make it from here on out.
Right.
And this is an opportunity to do that. So right. Hopefully they figure it out.
Round of applause, James Hamm, joining us here on the Kings Court Podcast. Once again, a reoccurring guest here on the show. Thank you so much, James, for always being a guest here on the show. I do highly appreciate it. Shout out to everyone that joined us here in the chat. Shout out to the person that's watching all the way from Spain. We also have someone in here from Brazil watching the show, so I appreciate all of you guys tuning in and watching. Bass, thank you for all the major comments down low about Marvin Bagley being the future of the Detroit Pistons. I appreciate you in there as well. Everyone that is watching, please do us a huge favor and hit this like button. If you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button. But James, before I let you go, let the fans out there know where they can find you online and what they can be expecting from you for the rest of the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the radio three times a week on ESPN 1320 from 3 to 4 with D'Lo and Casey. I'll be on later today. You can also find me at thekingsbeat.com. That's my newsletter. You can find me on Twitter at James_HamNBA. And of course, the Kings Beat podcast with Brendan Nunes and Sean Cunningham. We're coming at you every Tuesday and Thursday. Long form podcasting on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Good stuff there with Brendan and Sean.
Yeah, shout out to Brendan. Shout out to Sean. James, if you don't mind, we had a couple people in the chat last second here. I guess these are pretty quick questions here for you. Is who do you like more, Bay or Denny? And I'm guessing that's going to be Denny Avdia from the Washington Wizards.
Who do I like better between Sadiq Bay and Denny Avdia?
Yeah.
Oh, It's not even close. I like CD Bay way more.
Yeah. The other one, that was from Kevin. The other one is going to be from RP. RP asked James, are there any rumors or anything about Zach LaVine or the Kings' interests in each other?
That's a tough one. LaVine turned the Kings, signed a contract, an offer sheet with the Kings a few years ago. And then when he got that offer sheet matched by the Chicago Bulls, he was pretty happy about that. That's a tough one. The Bulls, I think, are bringing him back. And the fact that he put out a Father's Day picture with his dad that just happened to be in Sacramento on Instagram this weekend, I think people should just understand that's probably the picture he had with his dad. And so he put that out there. And while he was in, his story was in Venice.
Yeah.
Like he's in Italy. So that wasn't him in Sacramento taking a picture right now.
It's there. There could be a fire. You never know. Before I forget, James, happy Father's Day to you, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Too, Vince.
Thanks. Yeah. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in, James. Thank you so much for joining. You guys go follow him on Twitter @James_HamNBA on Twitter. Subscribe to the show, The Kings Beat, on YouTube, on iTunes, or wherever you listen to your podcast. I want to thank you guys all for watching here as well. Hit that subscribe button, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting needs. I've been your host. My name is Vince Miracle. You guys can follow me on all social media platforms of @VMCenter. This show is brought to you by RateCrushers.com. And until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, peace.